Good morning, it's the Jason Manford Show on Absolute Radio. Steve Edge is here.
Good morning.
Morning, how are you?
I'm all right, you know. Yeah? Kids are, you know, not great.
They've been poorly, you said.
Well, it's just that time of year, and it's just sort of stuff hanging around. But I'd forgotten, because I've got a little one again now. I'd forgotten the, do you remember those little trumps that they do? Not little trumps.
No.
Sounds like a drain bursting. And yeah. And then suddenly, like, there's just water everywhere. And you're like, oh, what's happened there? And yeah, remember those?
Oh, I see. Those. So like a wet, like a really wet poo.
It's like a half a pint, though. You know what I mean? Like a, like somebody's dropped a pint.
Oh, mate.
And it's just, you know, when does it firm up? And then the other one's got a bit of something now. And, you know, it's just, oh, it's exhausting.
Vermin, aren't they? That's the problem.
That is the problem.
Children are vermin. And if there's any kids listening, just know that. That's what we think of you.
Yeah, that's as long as you know that. We love you, but you are vermin.
You are one rung above the rat.
The pigeon. The pigeon does watery poos.
Yeah, exactly. And it's not necessarily your fault, kids. I don't want you to think it's your fault. It's often it's the kids around you at school. They come in with some of the snotty nose and the... You know, picking their ears and all sorts.
That's the one thing I can't bear, the snotty nose. I've never had a kid with a snotty nose. I know you're not a snot. I know you're not a.
Mate, I can't. I actually, even when I said that was a good roll of right impression there.
Yeah, put it on my list.
See our new Ken Bruce.
Yeah.
The tram
lines, you know, when you got two.
Oh, I can't deal with it. The window wiper tongue.
I'll tell you, we don't see as much. When I was a kid, it used to be quite popular. Mm. In the corners, you know, where your lips meet at the side, just some white stuff just there. They don't see that as much anymore.
No.
What was that? Was that like a E-numbers or something that was more prevalent in the 80s?
Yeah, maybe.
It's just E-numbers. Crispy pancake. Maybe it was Flinders crispy pancake.
Maybe it was just like that sort of like, you don't see white dog poo. You don't see the white in the corner of people's mouths.
Yeah, maybe it's all linked.
Yeah. Sleep in your eyes.
Yeah.
That little thing, the little bits of like that gooey, because it's like gooey in it when you're a baby.
Yeah.
That stops. That hardens up at some point.
Oh, that's, yeah, all that. It's all the cradle all cap and all that sort of stuff is all.
All that going on. Yeah, there's lots of stuff in there where my son came home the other day from school and we were chatting and he went, and obviously because things are brand new to him. He says things quite in an exciting way. And he says, oh, my mate Harry can turn his eyelids inside out.
Oh, I remember when that kid? I remember when that was discovered at our school,
There's just a moment in every school where someone can just do it.
Or tuck their earlobes into their ears.
Tuck their earlobes in.
And then like blow really hard and they pop out.
Yeah, mate. There's often someone who can suck in their nostrils, so their nostrils stick together.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Somebody can spray milk out their eye.
Spray milk out their
eye. Less popular, but I've seen it done.
More bespoke, that one. There's the tongue in a sort of like a wobbly tongue, isn't it, where it's like they can fold it up in three.
Yeah.
Like a shamrock.
I know, yeah.
That one.
I mean, I don't know if they're life skills of some sort of, you know, it depends what profession you go into. It could be.
Yeah.
But
the eyelids inside out though.
I've never seen that on film. I've only ever seen that in real life.
Never seen it in a film. Never seen it. It's just good, just solid kid skills from back in the day. Did you ever watch this last weekend at Soccer Aid?
I didn't just because of all the illness, but I saw some stuff on social media and stuff. How did it? Was it good?
It is a lot of fun. Yeah. Yeah. It's, I mean. As you know, Steve, I might be a tennis guy. I might be a gym guy.
Yeah.
I am very much not.
Do you mean might be?
Well, I am. Yeah, I am, sorry, obviously.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not a football guy.
You're not a football guy? Why are you doing soccer?
Well, because I love it.
You wish you were a soccer guy.
I play a bit of five-a-side. You know what I mean? But once you get out... Once you're actually playing with people
on a full size pitch,
job it's been on the full size pitch, it's massive,
yeah. But if you had professionals on a half size pitch, that wouldn't be fair, would it? Because they'd just be running rings whenever,
yeah. There is that, yeah. I think there's a few rule changes they need to put into Soccer Aid.
All right, okay, good to know.
I think, firstly, they should make it so like the professionals are not allowed to score.
That's okay, So well, just sort of handicap the professionals in some way, like they have to wear shoes too small or shoes too big. What about big clown shoes? They have to wear massive clown shoes.
Yeah, that'd be good. I'd be into that. Because there's just a bit where they like that their professionalism kicks in, especially when you're getting beat. So we got beat as the rest of the world. Oh. And
hang on. Did you jinx it again then? Because I'm sure you said that they always win.
Oh yeah, I did say that.
You double jinxed.
Well, actually, you forced me to say that. I wasn't going to say it. Yeah, you made me say it.
Okay. Well.
Yeah, but I was. It was very much. It was loaded in England's favour, to be honest. I mean. The England haven't won for six years, I think.
Right.
And even the talk in the camp was like, right, this is the year. You know, this
was
just
the golden generation.
Yeah. It was the golden generation.
It was in the golden generation.
Your Grennans, your McGuinnesses.
Yeah. The golden generation, yeah.
Your Hiddlestons. I mean, England finished the game with five players who could still play Premier League football now.
Oh, that seems a bit unfair.
We had Usain Bolt, who popped. I think he tore his calf. I think he did something really bad. Yeah, not good. That's the problem with these finely tuned athletes. You see, they're like F1 cars.
Yeah.
One nut out of place, and the whole thing goes down. Whereas I'm like a Skoda that's used as an Uber for the last 12 years.
But he's not.
I'll just run it off.
Yeah.
Whatever it is, fine. I'll just walk it off.
Yeah, exactly. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Don't matter.
He's not been doing the training. He's been doing training for the last sort of 5 years. So when did he's retired now, isn't he?
True. No, but still, that's still inert, isn't it? Whatever's going on in that body is still sort of muscle memory.
What I'm saying is what's going on in his head is inert. Like, I can run this fast, but can his body still do that?
Oh, I see, yeah.
Has his brain gone, you're Usain Bolt, mate, you can do this? And his body's gone,
9.58.
You're not Usain Bolt anymore, don't do this.
Maybe that's what happened.
Yeah, I think he'd over...
But the best bit of the night for me, obviously it was awful that Usain Bolt got injured. I don't mean that bit was the best. But the best sort of moment was hearing the substitution, which was, and ladies and gentlemen, the substituting off the field is number 9.58 Usain Bolt for number 8, Jason Manford. I mean, that is like for like, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? That is, I can't even get off the sofa in 9.58 seconds.
No. It's a bit of a big shoes to fill, isn't it, really?
I mean, it really was. At left back as well, which is, it's not my position, Steve.
What's your position? Left back in the changing room, that is your position, isn't
it? I mean, yeah, classic, obviously. Yeah. I imagine how many times I've heard that this week.
I know, but I didn't...
Right back on the coach.
That's a good one. Did you have a good game? Do you feel like you had a good game?
Not particularly, no. Oh. Because
how long did you have? 10, 15 minutes?
About 15 minutes.
Yeah.
I got on there at left back and I looked up and I was suddenly marking Theo Walcott and Jermaine Defoe.
Okay, the two professionals.
the two players who could still do it.
Yeah.
Still do it. Theo Walcott is fast, man. Yeah. And it didn't go well. I passed back to Tony Bellew, who was in our goal. He fluffed it. I mean, I'm not that I told him this on the day. I said, don't worry about it, mate. But now I'm not stood in front of an Xboxer.
So on the day, it was like, that was totally my fault. I shouldn't have passed back.
Hey, sorry, pal, sorry, but sorry, I was pal. Genuinely
hands
thinking.
Up, hands up. My bad, Tony. And I'm then like,
now I'm like, I passed distance. It to your right foot for you to clear.
Yeah.
You had plenty of time and you smashed it into Stephen Bartlett and it went in the goal, even though it was on ball. But anyway, we didn't have VAR. thanks for everybody who donated. That's the main thing. We've made a lot of money for you.
Yeah, that's what it was about, wasn't it? Really?
15 million they made, which takes the total to like 106 million or something like that they've made since it started. So amazing.
That's the reason, isn't it?
Yeah, they showed us some wonderful things that they do with that money, and it was all worth it. And also uninjured, Steve.
Yeah. I mean, that's the best you can hope for, isn't it?
That is. Well, I mean, again, we lost two players. We got, like I said, I'm not going on about that. It was loaded in England's favour, right? Joe Cole, Jack Wilshere, Jermaine Defoe, all those brilliant players. Even there was on the Friday, I think, we lost John Obi Mikel, who is quite possibly one of the nicest people I've ever met in my life. Such a nice man. Anyway, he injured himself in dodgeball. Dodgeball, of all things. The thing with your proper players is they've only got 10 out of 10, no matter what they're doing.
Yeah, everything's competitive, isn't it?
Everything. Basically. Whereas the rest of us are going, right, I'm going to go easy on this because
I don't want to get injured.
Don't want to get injured before Sunday, you know. But yeah, he tore his hamstring playing dodgeball.
I mean, how furiously was he playing the dodgeball?
Mate, he was dodging. He was dodging.
Yeah. Wow.
So we lost John, and we were a bit like, well, he's our sort of our best player, really. We still had Essien, you know, we still had people like that. But we're thinking, what are we going to do? Right, surely they've got to replace him.
Yeah, with someone, yeah.
With someone else. So they were ringing round. I think Darren Fletcher was going to come down at one point. It was brilliant.
Yeah. Grealish, he's not going to.
Well, I did mention Grealish. I said, what about Grealish? Is it too soon to give him the call up?
Look, good news, bad news. Bad news. You've not been selected to the Euros. Good news. Yeah. You are coming to Chelsea and you can play the
you can the sit USF. The holding midfielder, the left wing in front of Jason Manford at left back.
He couldn't be on Rest of the World, though, could he? Surely he's 100% Brummie, isn't he? He's so English. Yeah.
Do you think he's a bit angry with England, so actually would be like...
I could play for Spain or Portugal, couldn't I, with me DNA thing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So anyway, they didn't replace him. So on the Saturday morning, we called at breakfast and they were like, exciting news, we've signed a new pro.
Oh. Okay.
And everyone was like, oh, amazing.
Brilliant. Great.
And they came out and they said, Ashley Cole is going to come and play for England. We were like, hang on a minute. We're the one who lost a pro.
What? Yeah.
Last minute signing of... Anyway. We got battered. But just playing with like... What's funny is, I've said it before, how quickly you get used to playing with these legends. Like, 10 minutes into training, you're calling Alessandro Del Piero Alex.
Yeah.
Alex, I was through. I was through then. Pass it. Yeah. You know, that's too familiar
too quickly, yeah.
Although I did get a little video of Del Piero.
Yeah.
Well, because I was in our local restaurant, Piccolino's, the other week. And the waiter Mauro was like, oh, you're gonna meet, he's like his hero, he was nearly crying
at the
very fact that I was gonna meet Alessandro Del Piero. And he was like, would you do me a video, get me a video of him? And I thought, I can't ask Del Piero for a video for just the waiter in our local Italian restaurant.
Well, I mean, I'm sure it's not the first time it's happened.
I'm sure it's not. Anyway, he was such a nice man. I did build up the courage to ask him.
Mauro at Piccolino's, look who I found.
Mauro, come stai? Spero tutto bene. Ti mando un abbraccio grande. Ciao.
There we go. Free food.
I was just after free food, really. I just thought.
Yeah. He said it all in Italian, so he might have said, this guy's just made me say this. I don't like this guy.
Yeah, don't serve this guy again. Also, if a producer can check what he just said.
Just before he goes out, because he just, might, yeah, just maybe. Just,
I don't know what he's saying.
I know the Spanish swear words, but I don't know the Italian ones.
It's rare to be involved in something that is really good fun to do, great fun to watch, and also does... a really lovely thing around the world. So
and you must feel like for a moment, you're a professional footballer, you know, because you're living their life for a bit. You know, you're on the tour bus, you're on the, you know, the team bus, and you're doing the workouts and training together and knocking it back and forth. Have you come back down to earth yet?
It takes you a while because you're staying at a hotel. You're having breakfast together. You're training together. You know, the guys from Adidas come out and they've got like hundreds of boots that you can choose from. You know, your shirt gets printed with your name on the back, and there's a kit man that you just like give your stuff to and he washes it and sorts it out the next day. Like little things that footballers wouldn't notice.
No, yeah, it's but privilege, like, isn't it? They just take that for granted, but you're like, oh, that's
you're cool. like the guy's just like, yeah, just dump it there. I'm like, do I fold it? He was like, what? Like looking at me like I'm mad. Yeah,
no one's ever folded it. Usually I throw it in my face.
Yeah, don't fold it. Yeah. And you eat really well because it's
not
all
your
like...
pants, mate. Don't put your take your pants off. What are you doing?
So it is like, you know, and then in the evening you sort of, you know, you can relax a little bit and hang out with, and just really funny people. Paddy,
are you on
it? You know,
have you got like a footballer's diet? Are they watching what you're eating and making
they're not
sure
watching,
you're eating
no.
Right? No, but they're checking you, they're giving you the good stuff, like this is
yeah,
the
yeah,
protein,
yeah.
That's
protein
good,
that. And, you know, on the day you're having like chicken and pasta. I was like, can I have a second one of them? They were like, yeah, that's not how it, how it works, really. Yeah. So you do look after yourself. It's a bit like a bit of a spa break with loads of football training. The games they play are so complicated.
Right.
Like, in training, you just think, oh, you just have a kick about and it'll be fine. No, they're like, I remember Robbie Keane at one point, he's going, right, so, three start against two, you score one goes off, and then another one comes on.
I was like,
what are you talking about? What are you talking about? What about just like headers and volleys? Like, I mean, I get that.
Last man back,
exactly. But no, it is so, honestly, it's so exciting to be part of it. And as I said, such a great event on the night. My son and my kids, my wife all came to watch. And just like, I'd never played with a crowd before, because last time I did it was lockdown, so there was no crowd. I had one shot against Paddy, but it was from about 50 yards.
Was it close?
No, but I did give it. I mean, it was sort of. I mean, it actually counted as on target.
Did he know it was a shot?
No, it wasn't a shot. I was actually trying to get it just forward into the box, but not in the box, so right. It was quite easy. But it did count as a shot on target.
It's all counts, doesn't it? Yeah. Stats isn't at the end of the day. That's what's there, isn't it? The stats are you had a shot on goal.
But it was more of a Peter Kay have it moment. Well. I just launched it. Obviously, there was the Tony Bellew mistake. Which is what I'm calling it.
It's definitely his error.
And actually, there was a moment. I just want to call somebody out, actually. Like I said, I got subbed on for Usain Bolt.
Yeah.
Now, I am more aware than you that is not like for that. That's like Tesco saying, sorry, we didn't have any gravy, but here's some Tampax or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, it's so...
Good
not
metaphor, really, I think.
Yeah, I think so.
I think that works.
It's so not... It's not even in the same ballpark.
Yeah.
Right.
No, but that's not how football works, though. You get towards the end of a game and you want to defend. You take off a striker and you bring on a defender. That's what they did. They're not saying you are the same. Yeah, you're in the same position. Same. He wasn't playing left back, was he?
I don't know. He must have been playing at the back, I think, and then Evra moved into the middle and I went left back. Okay. But I was thinking, I've not tackled anyone since I was about eight.
No.
So this is not going to go well. On the Daily Telegraph website, this was what they said. 66 minutes, England 11-4, World 11-2. Usain Bolt is carried off on a stretcher. He did indeed injure himself during that Defoe goal. He's replaced by the more rotund and slightly slower Jason Manford.
Well, slightly slower. I mean, that's not...
I'm not arguing with that bit, mate.
Everybody's slightly slower.
Everyone's slower than...
that's not an observation.
No. What's the rotund bit about?
I don't know. What does it... Read it again. More rotund.
More rotund. More?
So they're saying he's rotund as well, and you're more rotund. So they're having a go at Usain Bolt as well, are you?
Never mind Usain Bolt. He'll be fine. What about me? Steve?
Am I being
fat shamed?
I think you are. Who was it?
That was the Daily Telegraph. I expect nothing less.
Yes, of course, yeah.
But what about this from the Dave and Vicky show on Radio 1 on Monday?
Okay.
You know what I think it is? I think, you know, because when you're in football, you have to retire when you're, like, say, like, what, 30, 35? Mm. So then obviously Robbie's gone on to sing after, and that's where the confusion is.
Yeah, he hit millennium and was like...
I've got to quit, you know.
I'm done.
Bad ankle, maybe, something like that.
There was a chap called Jason Mansford who, when they were subbing him on, which means swapping a player, when they were bringing him onto the pitch, he ran on and he was out of breath.
Oh, he mustn't have been to training.
I felt terrible. I know, I felt terrible. I was like, oh, hold my beer, I'll take this. Do you know that kind of thing?
Yeah.
Oh, dear. Oh, that's not very nice, is it?
Firstly, Jason Mansford. I'm not prepared to let it go.
No, firstly, Jason Mansford. Yeah, that's
always
the thing.
That annoys me.
But secondly, you were out of breath. Hold me beer. I've got this. Hang on. Yeah. So you're going to replace him while you're drunk? Is that what you're saying?
I also wasn't out of breath. I was nervous because I was coming onto the pitch. I was like, I did, to be fair, have to run from the bench all the way to the left back position on the other side of the pitch.
It's quite a way, isn't it? Yeah.
It's a long way, but... I want to say I wasn't out of breath. I wasn't as fit as I wanted to be. But I definitely wasn't fit. I wasn't out of breath from running onto the pitch.
No, you were doing that breathing, psyching yourself up breathing, weren't you? You were doing a, right, let's do this, that sort of thing.
I was doing that.
Yeah.
So I feel like a big fat Shane there.
Twice. And then I don't even know what that was. I mean, he was having a go at Jason Mansford, so don't worry about it.
Yeah, it's a different guy. I've just checked, seeing how old these guys are. Dean McCulloch, he's 31, so...
Right,
what about Vicky Hawksworth? Let's have a look. It's all right when you're a nipper like these guys.
Yeah, these two, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I'm just looking. She looks even younger than him. He's 31, but like looks in his 20s.
Okay.
I feel like I'm being fat shamed there, Buffy.
No, well, I mean, I think you were in the first one. The second one, I think, you know, we've got to let them. They're just chatting on like we do. You can't call them up on something they've said because we talk a lot of nonsense. So, you know.
Yeah, but ours is all finally prepped.
Yeah, as is, yeah.
We don't just turn up on the day and just wing it.
No.
Do you know what I mean? We put a lot of work into this. A lot of work under the bonnet.
Yeah, that's it, yeah.
Anyway, that was my experience of Soccer Aid.
Questions for Steve.
It's time for Questions for Steve this morning. You can always throw one in. Jason@absoluteradio.co.uk. You ready, Steve? This one's from Sam in Hanforth.
Okay.
It says, morning, Jason. Morning, Steve. Now, I could be wrong, but a couple of weeks ago, I swear I saw you, Jason, in the big Tesco doing your weekly big shop in Hanforth. Hanforth Dean there, near where we live. Yeah. My question for both of you is, what's the weirdest or most mundane place you've been recognised? All the best, Sam. Probably Big Tesco's in Hanforth.
Big Tesco in Hanforth, yeah.
For me.
Was it you?
It could have been, yeah. It's only around the corner.
Oh, yes, it probably was you, yeah.
So I got to say, I don't know the last time I did a big shop in person, though.
Are you an online guy now?
Online, mate, online.
Oh.
I've not, yeah. In fact, since pre-lockdown, I think.
Oh, I like to feel the fruit. You know what I mean?
If
someone says ripen at home avocado, I need to have seen it from my own eyes.
I don't trust them.
Weirdest place? I don't know the weirdest place. I was at a water park in Bali once, which is quite a way away, isn't it? For somebody to go, are you in peep show? I thought that was a weird one.
Yeah. What about mundane? Any like boring places that you've been?
No, I can't really. Well, I mean, it wouldn't have lodged in my memory because it would have been so mundane.
So dull.
I did go to this weekend. I went to the Crowhurst Village Festival. I think it was.
Okay, now we're talking.
Yeah, this is what we're talking. And turns out I'm a bit of a big deal in Crowhurst. It was like 10 stalls selling books for charity, a tombola.
It wasn't a big field.
It was a big field.
Yeah,
I got there. Scouts were doing the car park. Elder scouts, you know what I mean? Yeah. The leaders.
Yeah,
Arcalers spotted me straight away, Steve. And they was like, "Can we have a photograph?" So I had a photograph took with all the scouts. Right. That was weird. Sam was like, "Where have you gone?" And I was like, "I've just the scouts just got me." Then a load of women got me. Women of a certain age, you know, that's what Sam says is my demographic.
I'm fine with it.
Like Madame Blanc. They're sort of, Sam always says they're not sure if they've been through the menopause yet, but they probably have, but they can't remember it because it's that far past.
Right.
She's basically, you know, it's a nice thing and she's trying to knock it down.
Of course, that's what they do. Try to dent your confidence.
They said, like we were saying a minute ago, is that him? If you'd have been here 5 minutes earlier, you could have opened the Crowhurst Village Festival. And I said, listen, next year, I'm 10 minutes down the road.
Email me.
I will. Yeah. Let me know. I'll come here. I'll put the sausages out for Donate the Sausage for the dog show. Whatever you need, I'm here. So I'm going to get a T-shirt or a mug saying pretty big deal in Crowhurst, I think.
Yeah. The Ron Burgundy of Crowhurst. Yeah. I get spotted in lots of random places that are all quite mundane, I guess. When I was doing a mundane activity, I remember I was changing my daughter. This would have been, you know, 13 years ago.
Yeah.
But I remember I was in a park, maybe a theme park, in fact. And I was changing my daughter's nappy, and it was an horrible one. You know, one of them where you go, I've just got to do this here. Clear!
Yeah, one of those.
You know what I mean?
When you need another person to, like, get 5 wet wipes prepared, you haven't got time, one-handed, because you're holding the legs. You haven't got time.
It was just... And it was my first child as well, so everything was new, you know.
Yeah.
And I remember at that moment, and I actually I pride myself on this, that this was the once and only time I have ever, ever lost my temper with somebody who wasn't a family member. But you know what I mean? Like, I'm actually a pretty calm bloke, right? I've probably been angry about six times in my life. And this was one of them, because I was mid cleaning.
Mid-change.
This bottom. And I could sense someone near me, which is weird anyway. Why would you be near someone who's clearly panicking and changing an app?
You'd leave it. You'd go, oh, I'll give it. I'll leave it. Not
and I turned around, this guy went, can I get your autograph? And my reaction in that moment was, what? And he's like quite angry. I said, what do you want to do? Write it in. is what I said. And I'm not proud of myself.
No.
And I apologise to that guy.
But I think he was in the wrong there. You don't loom over somebody. You offered, if he'd have given you a wipe, if it'd have helped.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Then.
And you know me, Steve, and we've been out together. You know, I'm happy. I like when people come over and say hello and have a little chat and selfies. I don't mind any of that, because I always think one day nobody will ask.
Yeah.
So, you know, enjoy it while you can. But that was the only moment where I was doing a mundane thing and...
Lost my temper, so to speak.
Lost it while I was cleaning it, Ray in Blackpool has got a question for Steve.
Oh, okay.
Hi, guys. Love the show. And here's a wee question for you both. I was watching Benidorm the other night for the umpteenth time and was still surprised to see Jace as the Spanish circus owner. Are there any small cameo roles you are really proud of? And on the other side, any you'd rather no one remembered? Keep up the good work, Ray.
Okay, so this is a question for you, isn't it, really?
Well, both of us, really. I mean, have you done anything, any TV shows that you... it was more of a cameo, you were in... two lines and then you're doing a favour for someone or whatever?
Yeah, I did a little bit. Banker Dave, that was a favour for somebody. I did a little bit in that. I wasn't fairly...
Hey, I met him at The Real Guy at Euston the other day.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. Dave.
Well, obviously,
Obviously, yeah. I've been chatting to... I don't know if this is a secret or not, but I'll say it anyway. I've been chatting to... They're basically trying to write a musical version of The Bank of Dave.
Yes.
So obviously, they need a northerner who can sing and act. So I'm up there. I'm in the... And he's also available. And I'm in that camp. So anyway, I bumped into him and we chatted about that. It's a bit random, isn't it?
Yeah, that is random. Our
cameos. Yeah, well, I guess one I did was... years ago, I did one for my wife... I did a little bit in a Tommy Cooper biopic. That was actually, I guess that was a part, really. I was playing Ken Brook, who was a magician who used to sell magic tricks to Tommy Cooper. And the other one, which I reckon most people won't even know it's me because I've got so much makeup and bits on. And also it's
RuPaul's
not been on
Drag Race.
I won it. That's
right. I did not know it was you.
That's me. I'm a bag of chips. no, I did a show called Ripper Street
years ago
where Matthew McFadden plays a sort of a police inspector during the Queen Victoria in Whitechapel. And I played a sort of a Victorian medium doing a séance. I get murdered in the first 2 minutes and I play a dead body for the rest. Then I'm on the
slab.
And they had to put this this chest thing on you, which makes it look like they can see inside your ribs.
Oh dear.
And you just try not to fall asleep, to be honest.
I mean, you might as well, mightn't you? I mean,
well, it's just
you might start snoring.
If their body starts snoring, it really spoils.
It looks like the main artery has been severed.
Exactly. Yeah. And then the only other cameo I guess I did for a friend of mine. Was a little show called Starlings, which ran for a few series on Sky, which was I was really itching to get into and really excited to be asked, actually.
Yeah. Well, I wrote the part for you.
And
you had a little tash on, didn't you?
I don't know why I ended up with a tash on.
I think it was your choice. It wasn't in the script that you had a tash. You just turned up and went, oh, I think I'd like a tash.
Well, there you go. Anyway. That never saw the light of day. That's on a coloring room floor somewhere.
There was a reason, but I can't remember what it was now. I think it was meant to be a closed football trials. So why would you be there looking after the crowd?
Oh,
I think
so you were looking...
It was our error, and then we had to... And there's probably timing. And it was nothing to do with you. I'm not just saying this. It would have been nothing to do with you. It would have been timing and
magic. I hope not.
It wouldn't have been, oh, my God, we have to work around this. It wouldn't have been you. I don't want you to think it was you.
Well, you know, it just played my mind sometimes.
It might have been the tash.
So there you go. Hope that answers your questions, Ray. That's a interesting question, actually, about cameos, isn't it, in films? Last night I was watching Planes, Trains and Automobiles.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Watched that last night, which is a great film.
Yeah.
Great film.
Yeah.
And Kevin Bacon is in that.
Oh, is he? What, was he really young? There's a lot of that, isn't
there? Yeah, he's actually already famous.
Yeah, because it's, what is it, about 1987 or something?
87.
Yeah.
87. And he'd done a film with the director, whose name has left me for a second.
It's, what's his name, isn't it? So, yes,
oh, God.
It's a famous bloke. What's his name?
I know. John.
Uncle Buck and everything, isn't it?
Oh, there's people at home screaming now at the, what's he called? John...
Hughes.
Anyway, done a film with him, and Kevin Bacon plays the guy at the beginning who chases the taxi across the road with Steve Martin.
Right.
And it's a bit of a sort of a Footloose. I presume it comes after Footloose, and there's a bit of a link there. And then you start Googling things while you're watching a film. In that film, Steve Martin is a year younger than me.
Oh no, that's weird. No, you shouldn't do that.
Honestly, so what was going on in the 70s and 80s? Why did people look so old?
No, but he doesn't look old. He had grey hair sort of prematurely young, didn't he? But I think you when you first see it, you fix them as they're older than you. And then
it's
not when you watch Alfie the same pet now and they're all like 32 and you're like,
yeah.
But I thought they were all older than me.
Yeah.
And they weren't. They were, but they're not now.
I think he was 42, and John Candy was 36.
Oh dear!
In that film as well.
Oh dear.
Mad. There's lots of and the other famous cameo. This is probably more in the Hit Me With Your Best Facts. But you in the movie Hook, there's loads of little cameos in that one. I think the most famous is there's a scene on the boat where Glenn Close plays a pirate, but she's like dressed as a bloke. You wouldn't even know it was her. And there's also one where they fly over the bridge, and Carrie Fisher is having a little kiss with who's the director of Star Wars? All the names have gone out of my head this morning. George Lucas. They're on the bridge. The fairy dust lands on them and they fly off.
Oh, madness.
There you go. Anyway, a bit random. Like I said, anytime you want to throw in a question to us, jason@absoluteradio.co.uk. Flicking through the news this morning, Steve.
Yeah.
I've got three headlines. What do you want to hear more about?
Okay.
Number one, African elephants call each other by unique names, new study shows.
Right.
Number two, former mayor caught with pants down, logging into council meeting from toilet. Or number three, woman uses asparagus to predict the Euros. What do you reckon? What do you want to hear?
Wow. I think I've seen the woman with the asparagus on this morning throwing it around and predicting stuff before. So I know that one.
That's right. Yeah.
Council, was that British, the one with the council meeting? He's logging on while he was logging off.
Is that the one you want to hear more of?
Because I can guess. The other one's Walk on the Wild Side, isn't it? It's just two elephants going, Alan! Alan! It's just that, isn't it?
former mayor caught with pants down logging into council meeting from toilet. In the era of Zoom calls, there's nothing like that strikes fear into the heart more than your camera or mic being left on when you're not really working and picking up something unprofessional. Well, that fear became reality for the 78-year-old former mayor of Rio de Janeiro last week when he logged in for his Zoom meetings with other councillors on Wednesday while sitting on the toilet. The politician appeared to quickly realise his mistake after being seen by others on the call with his trousers around his ankles. He quickly brought the camera up to feature his face, but not before fellow participants had noticed his curious choice of location.
So it was on the floor when he was just because obviously the If he was on his lap, ankles. They wouldn't have known, would they? I mean, they might have seen a system behind his head, but like yeah. he must have been on the floor while he was just getting set. And then it's really like your weight. The host knows you're waiting. We'll let you in the meeting in a second. He just thought, right, well, I'll just get myself ready for the toilet. And then he's just been let in the meeting. It's just shot of his knees and his socks and dear.
But then sometimes, like I was in bed yesterday. I sort of did the school run. I got back at 9:15 and. This was obviously we pre-recorded, so this was on Thursday, whatever it was, Wednesday, Thursday. And I did the school run, got back, and then I had a Zoom at 9:30, and I thought, right, I've got 45 minutes here, and I'm knackered. Do you know what? I'm just going to get into bed and have half an hour.
Yeah.
So I did right. So anyway, it turned out I didn't wake up, and suddenly it was 9:30. And I thought, right, what I'll do is I'll log on to the Zoom from my phone rather than going all the way downstairs to the computer.
Yeah.
Using my phone, and what I'll do is I'll just not put the camera on and say, oh, I'm having Wi-Fi problems, and I'll just do audio because it's not actually that important. It's fine.
Gotcha. Good good plan.
That was the plan.
Yeah.
But for whatever reason, obviously previous settings, or I don't know what it was, it just connected to the camera straight away.
Oh, dear.
I just threw it. Just threw it to the end of the bed. And then
face down.
Yeah, well, maybe, I don't know. And then I had to just come up with like a, I don't know what's going on here. Like,
To have connected to my phone, but I'm downstairs on the computer. I don't know what's going on
fully
here.
Fully dressed downstairs by the computer.
That's where I am.
That's where I'm sat. Weird. Anyway, can you grab my phone? And then literally just like I had to put my hand over the camera and then hang up. So, yeah, not a good start. So no, it could happen. It can happen to
Do you remember
all.
The one where that came to me when that bloke was, he had a mask on, he was a cat.
Oh, that was hilarious. You couldn't get it off. There were some crackers, weren't they? Some absolute beauties. Hit me with your best fact. Fire away. So if you want to play Hit Me With Your Best Facts, all you got to do is send us your best fact to jason@absoluteradio.co.uk. What sort of facts are we looking for, Steve?
We're like a fact that's pertinent this time of year, don't we? So I don't know what that is, actually, like a summer fact, but it's not really summery, is it? But yeah.
Sort of topical-ish, we like.
I'm sure we're getting into Wimbledon facts, European Championship facts. Yeah. You know, anything like that would be good. You know, if we'd like that would be handy, wouldn't it? You could really drop those when the competitions are on and go, do you know, the longest ever Wimbledon ladies final? You could just, you know, there might be something you can use there. But we want something that we don't want the full fact sometimes. Sometimes.
Yeah, tease us. We like to
tease us, yeah.
Yeah. Actually, earlier on, I was chatting about the film Planes, Trains and Automobiles.
Mm.
And one of the facts that I took out of that film that I seem to remember is, because one of the things when you watch that film is it's brilliantly, the storyline of it, it's so pacey, especially for a film back then. It's like set up joke. It just romps away and you're like, wow, it's so tightly written and tightly edited. There's no fat on it. 90 minutes of joy. That's not true. The actual original script was something like 170 pages long. The original edit was over 3.5 hours.
Really?
Yeah. And then they cut it down to 2 hours and the studio then said it's still too long. And they had to cut out another half an hour. And there's actually lots of bits in the film when you watch it, because I watched it last night. There's lots of bits in it where you go, oh, yeah, there's bit references where... And then there's one point in the towards the end where John Candy's got a black eye. There's no one's punched
him. So they've cut that scene out, yeah.
So there's lots of bits like that. But it sort of shows you how much an edit can save a film.
It's one of the most important bits, isn't it, I think?
Geniuses, aren't they?
Make or break.
But also quite sad to know that there's probably, you know, another 2 hours plus.
Do you think they've never done like a director's, not a director's cut, but like a...
Yeah, yeah, like the outtakes and stuff like that.
I feel you'd like to see those, wouldn't you?
I'd love to see it. Just to know that there's 2 hours of Steve Martin and John Candy being hilarious together and we've never seen it. It's quite sad, really. Let's go on with your facts this morning. Tina Yeager says, hi, Jason. Hi, Steve. Here's a summer fact for you.
Oh, good, good, good. We're in.
During summer, there is technically no night in Britain.
What?
What's... She just put dot, 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 like, come to me. Like, she just knows.
Yeah.
What's that mean? How can there be no nights?
It's going to be like a, I don't know, because the definition of what night is with the sun being on the... No, I don't know.
That's sun weird, being, isn't it?
I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. That's what she's teased us.
Because it's like daylight. I guess there's like twilight.
Mm. Maybe it's that. Maybe we don't get full night, we get twilight. Because the sun is that, not in a position which is classed as night or, you know.
Oh, it's a good one. It's making us think. It's making us think. I like it. If you've got any facts, all you got to do is email me, jason at absoluteradio.co.uk. James Hedgecock, one of my favourite surnames.
Mm-hmm. Good, yeah.
Again, we all know what his ancestors were getting up to.
Well, he might have kept poultry.
Yeah, chickens in his garden, yeah.
Behind a privet. You know what I mean?
Or...
Yeah. Or, yeah.
Or stay away from number 12.
Yeah. Don't, it's not the foxes you got to worry about around here.
Did you know Wembley Stadium has over 2,500 toilets? It's the most of any stadium in the world.
Is it? The most of any stadium in the world?
Yeah. That's good, isn't
really?
It? I like that.
2,500 toilets.
Mm. That's a lot of toilets.
I always think it's weird that those things that are in urinals are called cakes. Urinal cakes, aren't they? That's not a cake, is it?
That's not a thing, is it?
I mean, we have the argument about what's the difference between a biscuit and a cake, and you know that's taxable, and one goes soft, one goes hard. But you wouldn't call that a cake.
No, you wouldn't. Yeah, interestingly, about 2 years ago, I mentioned that to my wife.
What are they called, urinal cake? Well, she wouldn't.
Yeah, yeah. And she said, "What are you talking about?"
Exactly.
I was like, you know, the little things in your hand. Yeah. And I realised that half the population...
I've never seen a urinal.
Never seen
what we have to put up with.
Oh,
basically.
It's disgusting.
There's literally, it's a trough hung on a wall.
Horrible.
You know, they always go, there's no queue for the bloke's toilet. There's always a queue for the lady's toilet. It's a trough hung on a wall and one cubicle, usually with a door kicked off. That's
it. And we all over the seat, generally.
Yes, so no one's going in the cubicle. Anyway. It's just no there one. For emergencies.
No, there's no arguments about getting into men's toilets, is there?
No, it's not.
It's disgusting. Disgusting. Horrible. Richard in Cardiff. Rats will laugh out loud if you tickle them.
That's brilliant. I want to hear that.
I want to hear a rat laughing.
I want to hear a rat laughing. Hey, Riffin. I want to come full circle.
That's unbelievable.
You tickle a rat and it laughs.
I wonder what a rat's laugh sounds like.
I don't know. I imagine a bit. Because they're not... they're not cute, are they? Like, mice can be cute, but rats, as soon as you see the tail, you go, ooh, it suddenly turns. The body's all right.
Yeah,
as soon as you see the tail, ooh.
I know, not into that.
Yeah.
And Robin Pilling says, did you know that Dolly Parton... Oh, I think we know where this one's going, Steve? Once entered...
Our Dolly Parton.
Lookalike competition, but lost.
Lost, yeah.
Yeah, I'm never sure if that one's apocryphal, to be honest.
No.
Because I feel like Elvis...
Why would she? I mean...
I feel like Elvis did it as well. Like, you know,
I feel like the sort of places and times of the year where there'd be a Dolly Parton lookalike competition, I'm thinking Benidorm, she wouldn't be there. You know what I mean? Like, they have an Elvis festival in Benidorm, don't they? And, you know, I don't...
Yeah.
Why would she be anywhere near a Dolly Parton festival? A lookalike?
I don't know. But look, it's been checked, so it has to be true.
Yeah,
so maybe she's the original one of that story.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll find out, Steve. Maybe we'll find out.
Maybe.
Carlos Bell has taught... I think we've had this one before, but it's always a good one. A Cadbury's flake doesn't melt.
Oh, have we had that before? I don't remember.
Have you not? I feel like
it doesn't melt.
Doesn't melt, yes. Yeah.
Was so, it like, some...
Yeah, it's something to do with the
chocolate and fat content. Something. Yeah.
Yeah. So if you put it in a microwave, it just
really
it'll set on fire before it melts.
No one expected that.
I know. But if you stick it, if you put one in your hands, it crumbles. But
why are the minstrels making such a big deal out of the fact that they don't melt? Then
well, there you go. I know the flakes just going around. Just don't even mention it.
Don't even mention it. I was too busy being sexy in the 80s, to be fair.
Exactly. Pete Murray says, Blur's second album, Modern Life is Rubbish, was recorded on the same mixing desk as Phil Collins' In the Air Tonight.
Mm.
How do I know this? Pete asks.
Well, go on, how do you know this? Pete asks himself.
Pete says, I worked in the Plough in Bloomsbury as assistant manager in the early 90s when Blur recorded the album Next Door in the Matrix Studios. Blur came into the pub after, as did a guy called Joe who worked at the studio, who told me that he'd recorded In the Air Tonight on the same desk. The Blur guys even let me come over the road to listen to some of the tracks of the new album in advance. That's good.
I think there must be a lot, because obviously that mixing desk has obviously been there at least 30 years. So there must have been all sorts recorded. All sorts. You could say it was, and this was also the one that the Cheeky Girls recorded.
I know, but nice to get a fact that only you know.
Yeah.
Like, you can't Google that.
No, but he's just said, how do I know? But he does know.
He does know. Straight from the horse's mouth. I like it. Derek Moore says, hi, Jace. I've got a topical D-Day fact for you. Obviously, D-Day was last week, which is less fun and more scary, to be honest. 4% of the sand of the five beaches that the Allies landed on during D-Day is actually made up of shrapnel.
4%? 4%. What? No, not then.
I guess now. Yeah. So still... Yeah, then it would have been like 85%, I guess.
So 4% of that sand is,
That's absolutely
awful. Did you watch any of those? Any of those D-Day that the Unheard Tapes was very good.
Oh my gosh, absolutely devastating.
Because they lip sync. They got actors who looked like they would have done at the time, and the recordings were old, so they were sort of from the 70s and 80s. So the stories were told by looking like a young man and by a younger man. Obviously, as these veterans got older, they sounded old, and they would have also like shielded some of the things because they've had to learn to live with it. But when it was really powerful because it was young men. It was the voices of young men coming out of the faces of young. It was horrific. Mm. I mean, it is horrific, but it is.
Yeah.
I don't know. It somehow brought it home even more. And you know, being the 80th anniversary and all that was very powerful.
Huge. I was at the Albert Hall last Thursday, and for a show that put out on ITV on the Sunday, which was a sort of celebration of in memory of D-Day, and I read a letter from a guy called Sid Verrier who was writing back to his family just before he was heading
before
out. He survived it. And he just grabbed basically one last chance really to write home to his mum and dad, and just before, and his dad had actually been a soldier in the First World War, and he was just and the letter is, I remember it was really like, well folks, at last I can write a few lines with a, you know, I've got a busy morning, as you can, and I'm off on the long awaited second front. Like, it was all quite, you know, as you would imagine from a young man writing back. So his parents don't worry, you know, even though he's probably absolutely terrified.
Here's a good fact for you.
Oh, yeah, go on.
What does the D in D-Day stand for?
Oh, that is a good question. I don't know.
Day.
Actually. Day-Day.
It's Day-Day.
Why?
It is. Well, it's going to be a day, but it's an unspecified, I think it's an unspecified day, because they don't want anyone to, you know when it is.
Yeah.
So they plan it around a day. But they don't say when the day is. So it's Day-Day, weirdly.
Right. Yeah, it's not as catchy, I guess.
No.
There you go. D-Day. D-Day's Day-Day. There we are. Rory Dugmore says, platypus...
Great names. I mean, he had a farm next to somebody else, and he's gone, look, I've done loads today. And he said, have you seen what Rory's done? And they go, oh, my God. He's done all them fields this morning. Yeah, Rory Dugmore.
Every time. Rory Dugmore. Platypus sweat milk.
What?
They secrete milk from mammary glands like humans, but don't have teeth, so the milk just oozes out of their skin.
Oh, dear.
Sweaty milk.
Sweating milk.
Oh
that's
right not
off
nice.
The platypus.
I mean, they're already, like, wide ear.
They're already weird. But then that's just added to it, hasn't it, really?
Yeah, that's just madness. What about Jessica Keats, who says, all mammals get goosebumps and can also be allergic to humans.
Animals can be allergic to humans. That's good, isn't it?
That's interesting.
Interestingly, with the goosebumps thing, when I was... I've got a friend of mine's husband, he's Belgian, and when something scary happened, I was with him once, and he went, oh, I've got chicken bubbles. And I went, sorry, what? And he went, chicken bubbles. You know, when the chicken bubbles on the chicken. And I went, goosebumps. He went, goosebumps. And I went, yeah. He went, no, chicken bubbles. And I went, why are they? And he went, he was in the army and everything. And he went, have you ever plucked a goose? And I went, no. And he went, chicken bubbles. They're completely flat. Whereas when you pluck a chicken, chicken bubbles. So his logic was right. Goose, there are no bumps on a goose when you pluck it, apparently. His argument is they could be called chicken bubbles because chicken bubbles do chicken bubble.
No way.
So there you go. Use that one in the future. He also once said, I've got to go now, my strawberries are smelting. So let's not...
let's not quote him.
Let's not quote him.
Have we got a winner, Steve? Shall I rattle through what we've got?
Yeah, go on.
Here we go. So we don't have a night during the summer, according to Tina.
Good.
Old Jimmy Hedgecock told us about 2,500 toilets at Wembley Stadium, most in the world. Rats laugh out loud if you tickle them, according to Richard. Dolly Parton once lost a Dolly Parton lookalike competition. A Cadbury's Flake does not melt. Blur's second album was recorded on the same mixing desk as Phil Collins' In the Air Tonight. D-Day. I mean, your fact was actually very good, wasn't it? But the D stands for day. 4% of the sand on the five beaches is made up of shrapnel. Mammals get goosebumps and can be allergic to humans. And platypus can sweat milk. So, what do you reckon, Steve?
I don't know. I think, topically, we should... D-Day's gone now, but I think topically the D-Day one is there, isn't it?
That is good. That is good. Dark and... A bit sad,
but then
but
the mixing
good.
Desk, dude, that's a fact that no one else would know.
I like that one as well.
And that's what I mean. I like
him
that.
And the mixing desk guy, of course.
You can Google that and nothing will come up.
It won't come up, think. Yeah.
No. Let's give it him. Let's give it that guy.
Yeah. I'm also interested to find out what a rat sounds like.
I want to know, but have we got any way of finding out?
Our producer has found a rat laughing.
Okay.
Just in the studio.
Yeah, it's a new studio, isn't it?
Yeah. Go on then, Dave. Let's have a little listen to a rat laughing. There you go. A bit weird. I mean, it's not warm, is it? It's not hearty.
No, but that's exactly what you expect from a rat, isn't it?
Yeah.
It sounds like somebody tickling a zip.
Yes. I think I like the personal touch of the Blur and the Phil Collins one.
I think that's, you know... That's a unique one, isn't it?
Yeah, I like that one. Okay, so I reckon what we should do this week, Steve, is because we did actually then find a rat laughing, I think we need to send one out to Richard in Cardiff.
Yeah.
But an Absolute Radio mug is also heading to Pete Murray as well for his Blur's album, and Phil Collins' In the Air Tonight was on the same mixing disc. And of course... We are a music station at the end of the day, Steve.
Yeah, you forget sometimes, don't you?
We forget sometimes that we are here to be playing music all morning. So well done. You can email me, jason@absoluteradio.co.uk, with your best facts. I don't think we're here next week, Steve.
No, we'll be at sea, won't we?
We'll be in the middle of the Atlantic, yeah. I can't remember if I've booked that off or not. I better tell them. Maybe I have. But or we might be able to record a show from the middle of a...
That would be good, wouldn't it?
The Queen Mary 2, I don't know. But if it's possible, we'll do it. But if not, we'll see you the week after. With all our stories, we're literally flying to New York tomorrow, and then I'm on a cruise. We're on a cruise on the way back from... Like the opposite of the Titanic, basically.
The opposite route, yeah.
Yeah, the opposite route of the Titanic.
Also, it takes longer. The Titanic was only meant to, you know, take 6 days. I think it takes longer.
Did it, though?
Well, it only did 4 days, I think. But
I'm happy for them to take their time.
Take your time.
I'm happy for them to take their time. So that's me and Steve this week, but we'll let you know all about it when we get back in a couple of weeks' time. Have a lovely Sunday, enjoy your week, and keep listening to Absolute Radio. Bye-bye.